Blog Talk Radio.
Always time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Real and welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality Radio. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and today I have a fabulous guest, Genevieve Kahn, and I'm going to get to her in just a minute. But for my new listeners, you know, I have so many people emailing me and writing me and finding the show. Reality Spirituality has been on a little bit over 3 years, and it's funny because when I started this radio show, I couldn't put three sentences together, and 5 minutes felt like a lifetime. So I just want to say that with anything, with my life, with your life, this is about the journey. This is about the journey. This is about growth, evolving, changing, and that's really the secret for me. The secret is to realize that it's not about the titles, the accomplishments, the numbers, it's really not about any of that. It's about being at peace in the moment, being at peace right now, regardless of what's going on in your life, regardless of what's happening, circumstances. Remember, it isn't what it looks like. It's not what it feels like. It's really this moment between you and the universe. Let's all take a breath with that. Let's just take a breath because that's so important. And it's something that I've struggled with, being a self-proclaimed happiness specialist. That means that my priority, my commitment is happiness no matter what is going on. And do you know how difficult that is to maintain? It's not easy. But the rewards are heaven on earth. Remember, Abraham says, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. And with that, this show, Reality Spirituality, is all about the journey, is all about our moments, dissecting our everyday life experiences, our everything, the smallest things that can happen. That's what the show is about, talking about how to create more happiness in your life. And without further ado, it's funny how people in my life, people that I connect to, I don't even remember how I found Genevieve, and or she contacted me or I contacted her and her partner, but I was on their radio show last month, and Genevieve is a life coach, and she is an author, and she teaches women how to reclaim their health through energy healing, diet, and gentle exercise. She's the co-host of Reclaim Your Health, heard 1 to 2 times every month on Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But this is what's really fascinating, and I've spoken to her a couple of times. This is what's really fascinating about this woman. Yes, the radio show. Yes, helping and touching and sharing and serving women. But she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 2002, and this has become the greatest challenge in her life. And even this happiness, you know, I'm talking about being happy, and what does that really mean? It means having a contentment, a foundation of contentment and peace and inner calmness. And how the hell can you do that when you're diagnosed with multiple sclerosis? Genevieve, welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm so grateful that you're here with me. Hi.
Hi, Rebecca. I'm so grateful to be here as well. And hi to our amazing audience here this morning. So honored to be with everyone.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your time and sharing your story and just being open. You know, one of the things that I like to share with my audience is that we're all in the same boat. I'm not any different than you. I mean, different gifts, but we're all in this boat called life, and we all experience challenges and health challenges, financial challenges, weight challenges, you name it, job challenges, family, relationships. But those challenges are here for a reason. They're here to take us to another level. Before we get to the diagnosis in 2002, give me a little bit of background give me a paragraph or two about your life and as a child and growing up and your experiences.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that, Rebecca. I grew up as a scrappy young Jewish kid in Brooklyn, New York, and Queens as well. So I'm a New York City kid originally, and grew up in a middle class family. For my generation, I'm currently 43 years old. So for my generation, it was pretty normal to have parents that divorced, and that definitely happened with me. Each of my parents ended up remarrying, so I ended up having four loving parents. But of course, you know, nobody's perfect. So there were challenges along the way. There were lots of joys along the way too. I ended up having several siblings due to my parents having remarried, and I have what you call step siblings. I have siblings that we just have one parent in common. I have one sibling we have both parents in common. So I learned early on that love and life can take many different forms. So I think that was actually a really good way to grow up. And living in New York City, it was a great place to grow up, but it's a very busy place. So you kind of need to learn, I think, to find your own way, yet, of course, you want to be a part of society as well. So I'm really grateful that I had that childhood, because it really helped shape the person I am today, and I think it helps me deal with my daily life as an adult as well.
It's so interesting. I've talked to so many people, and just your energy about what happened to you, because I've spoken to so many that it was disruptive having another parent. It was back and forth. It was children wanting the spotlight, not feeling why did mommy leave daddy? Daddy leave mommy. So I love hearing a positive spin on not a spin a positive story about. A family, like you said, common divorce, breaking up, but you're looking at it as even more love. I love that.
That's really how it came to be, Rebecca, and I'm so blessed that it came in that way, because my parents were really, I used to think that they really probably should never have gotten married, but of course, then me and my sister wouldn't have come along, and everything else wouldn't have happened the way it did, but they really were much better off apart. So when they divorced, it really ended up being a blessing.
Now, are they friends now?
Unfortunately, no. They have never been able to be cordial. So, it is what it is.
Right,
There are probably several different reasons that it just was not a very good idea. It was not a healthy relationship, so it really wasn't a very healthy divorce. And it really was one of those things where it was a challenge in itself, but it ends up being, like I mentioned, a real blessing, because we had ended up with an expansion of our family in ways that we never could have imagined.
I love looking at that. I was also divorced, and of course, we were divorced. My son's father. We were divorced. And we were the best of friends. And then, of course, when my son got to be maybe in his teens, and, you know, I was always going back to the, I need a little bit more money for him. And then that was a really big problem for about 5, 6, 7 years that we didn't speak, but now we're the best of friends again. So what happens in life is just this, you never know what's going to happen. And I just love the fact that not knowing, I guess I want to say, is not knowing and just being okay with the evolution, whatever it's going to look like.
And that's something that I truly had to learn, not only as a child, but I didn't really master it until I was well into adulthood. Probably not until I started learning about things like, you know, exploring my own spirituality, energy healing, and then having a choice of being able to adopt a healthy diet and a program of gentle exercise, and just realizing that it really is a choice to be happy and to see things more positively. Now, of course, this doesn't mean I do this all the time, and my husband will tell you that I'm often complaining about my physical condition, but what I do is when I'm having a hard time, I vent for a little while, and then I move on. I don't stay in the poor me syndrome because, for me, I don't have the patience. I don't have the patience for staying in the problem. I want to move next to the solution because, you know, obviously being happy feels a lot better.
You know what? Okay, now we're really getting into the nitty-gritty. So where did your spiritual journey begin? I mean, just give me a little bit of how what was the awakening? What was the eye-opening? Where did you find it, and what did it feel like, and how did it begin?
I love talking about this, and I've actually written about it as an author as well, because, excuse me, for me it wasn't just one aha moment. Mm-hmm. It was really a series of them, and it just kind of unfolded, you know, like a flower that's blooming over time. Mm-hmm. So the first real, I would say, beginning of my spiritual awakening was probably in the mid-90s, around the time that I had decided to stop abusing alcohol and substances. It was mostly like prescription drugs, you know, that kind of thing, marijuana. And I abused all that stuff, especially alcohol. So I had gone to, some 12-step programs, ended up getting clean and sober, and that's really where it began for me, because I realized that I had to place my life, or rather walk hand in hand in my life with a higher power, a power that's greater than myself. A lot of people call that God. A lot of people call it spirit or the universe. Mm-hmm. I think whatever one chooses to call it is perfectly, you know, wonderful. So that's really where it started for me, because I knew that, you know, I'd had lots of experience and trouble as I was growing up. It really started around 11 or 12 and then into adulthood with depression and anxiety. So the positive spin on my childhood, like I mentioned, it didn't really kick in fully until I became an adult. But so what I attempted to do was self-medicate through the years before I sought professional help and before, obviously, I got clean and sober. So that's how my substance and alcohol abuse, you know, came to fruition. So then once I started a clean and sober life and, you know, 12-step programs and stuff like I mentioned before, I started to understand that I really needed to have more spirituality within myself because I could not do it alone. I could not deal with, you know, even everyday life by myself. So, you know, Albert Einstein has a beautiful quotation, and he says, you cannot solve, I don't know if I'm going to say this correctly, you cannot solve problems with the same mind that created those problems. I know I'm paraphrasing here.
That is perfect. Yes. Yeah, I love that. I love that quote. Yes, keep going. This is a great. Oh yeah, keep going.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, thank you. So you know, I had gotten myself into really a fine mess. Not to judge myself, that's just kind of the facts. So I wasn't going to get myself out of that mess alone. That wasn't going to happen. In fact, I had tried to do that and I had failed. So I had to walk hand in hand with spirit. And that's when I, to this day, when I remember to do that, my life just, oh my gosh, it flows so much more easily, and I can tap into that inner source of happiness so much more quickly.
You know, you said so many key points. Oh my goodness, I should have started writing them down. So I have to remember that. But one of the things I want to just say is, I'm getting chills too. Is, you know, thank you, Genevieve, for being so open with my audience, because this, I don't know, I'm not really one of those, well, that's private. That's just not me, because the more that I share, then, and you're just sharing, you know, your story, which is a private, intimate story, but the more I share, is I find that I am relating to regular people just like me, and we all have a story. We all have this journey. We all have challenges. So, number one, thank you so much for being so open with a subject that a lot of people don't even want to talk about.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Rebecca. I think for me, if I were to try to hide who I am, what I've been through, I would not only, you know, hurt myself, but I think I would, you know, potentially hold back from others that, you know, could use my help.
Yeah.
So for me, I've just learned to live life kind of as an open book as far as my spirituality goes and my spiritual journey, because I've just been so blessed to be able to help others because of it.
Mm. And the other, thank you for, and the other thing you are saying is not being able to, you said a couple of things, having a choice, and yes, this life, we have choices. We have choices of behavior, choices of words, choices of perspectives, and that's the key. The more you evolve and the more you grow, the more choices that you get. And there's nothing wrong for making a choice if you want to scream at someone, you want to scream at someone and get angry, or like you said, you want to sit in it for a little bit. But there's nothing wrong with it. But you're just choosing that for a moment, and then you choose to do something else or behave another place. And it is all about the next moment. The next moment is always fresh. The next moment is always new. And you said something else, which is so many important points about not doing it alone. Not feeling like you have to make, I can say it, it's my radio show, Genevieve, you have to make shit happen. No, you have an energy, a companion always.
Yes, absolutely. And feeling that, knowing that, has really been the most important fact of my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Now, when you said something earlier that, and you said even ask your husband about getting into a moment and not really being as happy as some moments, and you said something which was interesting. You said, well, it also goes along with knowing yourself and being okay with venting and then moving on. I love
exactly.
That.
That's just what I have to do. I'm just kind of wired that way. I'm not built as a human being to bottle things up. And, you know, my husband knows this, my children know this, and fortunately they know that it's just part of my process. I vent and then, okay, what's the solution here? For example, even yesterday, if you have a few extra minutes just for me to tell this story, because this just happened yesterday morning.
Yeah, this is one of those shows about reality, spiritual. What happened yesterday, Genevieve?
Actually, this is reality. I'm telling you, it doesn't get more real than this, and more goofy than this either. Now I can laugh about it, but at first I was quite upset. What happened yesterday was, I was rushing my 11-year-old. I have an 11-year-old and an almost 9-year-old, both boys. So I'm rushing my 11-year-old into the car so that we can go to his game. We thought it was a soccer game from last weekend, where it had been, you know, too rainy here in New England. So I thought that it had been rescheduled for yesterday morning. Well, we went all the way down there. It was about an hour each way.
Mm.
But then when we got down there, I realized, because we went to two different fields that I could have possibly been at, nobody was there on his team, and I went, well, what the heck's going on? So I checked my calendar on my smartphone, and sure enough, the makeup game is not until this coming Saturday. It wasn't yesterday.
Mm.
So in my, you know, busyness and rushing around and not being in spirituality, I just, you know, let's go, go, go. Mm-hmm. So here I am dragging my kid, you know, 2 hours round trip. And then I realized that, you know, my almost nine-year-old, he had a game at that same time that I later on missed, you know, for no reason. So I was so upset. I don't like to miss my kids' games. If I can, you know, avoid it at all, of course I want to be there on the field with them, cheering them on. I was so upset that I burst into tears. After, you know, my 11-year-old called my husband and said, yep, we turns out, you know, mom made a mistake. We don't even have the game right now. So I burst into tears, and I was like, oh, my God, what did I do? I missed his game. Never mind the fact that he was fine, my 9-year-old.
I'm sorry, but this
he was fine. As long as he has a parent there, and he had a play date coming over after his game, so he was fine. But I was a mess. And then I went, okay. Enough crying now. And fortunately, my 11-year-old was helping me, too, because he's been taught from me and my husband, look at the bright side, look at the solution. And then I said, well, nothing we can do about it now. I vented, I cried, and then, okay, let's go home. And then on the way home, my 11-year-old and I were thinking about many ways to look at the bright side. In other words, look at the bright side. It was a beautiful ride. It was a good car trip. It's a nice day outside. We have plenty of time now when we get home to have lunch before his actual game that afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, okay, we had a problem. I vented, and now what's the solution? If I were to stay in the problem, not only would it affect me, but it would affect everyone around me.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's just, it's counterproductive, and I just don't, you know, I'm a New Yorker, so, like, I'm used to everything fast, fast, fast. So it's like, mm-hmm. let's move on. So, you know, it's, in a way, it was a really great lesson. You know, it was kind of a, you know, I call it, you know, our wild goose chase yesterday, but it was a really great lesson. When adversity or situations that we don't expect or we make mistakes, when that stuff comes up, there are ways to deal with it that are a lot more positive.
Mm. You know, that story is exactly what the type of things I talk about on this show. Everyday life experiences. So I want to really dissect that, because that's another thing I love to do. I call it getting down to the least common denominator to discover what all of this, the lessons, and what does all of this mean, and why, the answer is always for my betterment. Why is this happening? For my betterment. Why is this happening? You know, for me to grow. Why? Yeah, so that's always the answer. And one of the things that I talk to my son about, I have one, he's 29, Genevieve, and actually he lives in New York. But one of the things I talk about with him is all expectations will subtract from your happiness, period.
Yes.
Like you said earlier, expecting to have practice and all of them. I mean, expectations, even if I expect a store to be open around the corner and I need milk and it's closed, that's an expectation.
Right.
What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. That you do have expectations in life. It's a great analogy about, you know, if you want to get milk and the store is closed, well, there's got to be the next step. What do you do next? I mean, you can go, oh, man, I can't believe this. The store was closed. And you can, you know, complain about it for the rest of the day, or you can go to the next step. What else is open? If nothing else is open, when can I go tomorrow? You know, that kind of thing. Also, a couple of questions that I ask myself is, number one, how important is this?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a really kind of an inconvenience or something that feels like a large obstacle, the next question is, what is the lesson here? What do I need to learn from this adversity?
Okay, now you brought up some more really important points. One of the things, and this is all about happiness and really the foundation. So I've already, there's no expectation. I mean, for me, I can't have any expectations in my life, or else believe me, I'm setting myself up for disappointment all over the place. Number two,
right.
You said something about seriousness and important, which is so, this is an important point. Thinking that anything is important, is a sure disaster, is definitely going to subtract from your happiness. It doesn't matter if it's health, I understand what you're saying, but for me, I can't place any importance on anything, because that's just the label that I'm putting on it, and then there's a judgment about that label, and then I'm already spiraling out of the happiness control. I'm already spiraling down.
I agree with that 100%. And really, yeah, when I'm thinking how important is this, it's really not. You know what I mean? So it's kind of almost like a facetious way of asking,
mm-hmm.
you know, does it really matter all that much? Probably not.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. One of my mantras is, Jimmy crack corn and I don't care.
I love that.
That's what I say to myself. I mean, I can't put so much importance on anything. Now let's get back to you and this diagnosis in 2002 with multiple sclerosis. And how the hell are you this upbeat and your energy is just so powerfully light and magnetic? How the hell can you do that? What?
Yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from, Rebecca. And really, I use the same principles that I was talking about with, you know, the wild goose chase with my son's game yesterday. It's basically, it's a combination of things. It's definitely how important is this?
Mm-hmm.
What's the lesson here, really?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, when the diagnosis came, first of all, I wasn't surprised. Having worked in the medical field, I knew what MS was. I knew what the symptoms were, but it was still hard, you know, getting that diagnosis. It was one of those things where I had started my spiritual awakening by then, of course, and I just decided to move into the solution. And you know, I do occasionally still complain, like I mentioned before. You know, my family will tell you that, especially about my physical condition, because, over the years, it's definitely slowed me down. There's no question about that. And I get impatient, and I get vocal about that. But then I move on. Also, another aspect that I may not have mentioned before is I need to concentrate on the blessings in my life, because that's part of reality, too, and spirituality.
Yes.
I'm surrounded by blessings every day. I have a loving family. I have a roof over my head. I have enough food to eat every day. There's just so much. I have, support of, extended family and friends. And, you know, so the bottom line is the blessings far outweigh any challenges that I might experience.
What you're saying is, which is so important too, is, you know, I don't feel like I have a choice about what happens to me, but I definitely have a choice about what I focus on, and focusing on what's right as opposed to focusing on what's wrong. And again, it's you're sounding like it's just a practice. And it is a practice. It's like learning a skill. Learning, you know, if you want to learn how to play a violin, you can't just pick it up and play at Carnegie Hall. What you're talking about is a practice, a daily practice, moment by moment practice. And focusing on what's right is a challenge, because I don't know about you, but I grew up focusing on what was wrong. I mean, I talk to my mother now, and it's always what's wrong with the world.
Mm-hmm. exactly.
It's a choice that we make, and it's just a shift in behavior, shift in your energy to focus on what's right. I mean, in other words, what's good and your blessings. And again, like you said earlier, ask for help. Hey, universe. Hey, spirit. Can you help me focusing? Can you help me to focus on what's good in my life? Can you help me with that?
Exactly. That's what it is. And especially the two important things as well that MS has taught me is, first of all, really rushing around, it doesn't work very well for me. I have to slow down because I don't have a fast speed anymore as far as physical movement. And also, the other thing that the MS has taught me, like I mentioned before, is I need to be grateful for what it is that I have. And in spite of having this diagnosis, I'm otherwise perfectly healthy. So things could be worse, and I'm very grateful that they're not. So that's kind of where I go, especially right after I'm feeling sorry for myself for a few minutes, is, because it's really hard for me to, my walking is really, really challenged. I can do it. I call it more hobbling, actually. But but at least I can do it. At least I can get around. And it just takes me longer. We have this running joke where if I'm going somewhere with my husband and my kids, they tend to go ahead of me because I'm a lot slower, but they know I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because, if I wasn't, I would, I would ask for help. Like you mentioned, asking for help is so important. But also, I tell them, this is the running joke, I tell them, oh, don't worry about it. I'll be there within the next couple of weeks. So humor helps too.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so that's really important. Humor is so important, and you can really, if you really lighten up, you can laugh at anything. I love that you use humor with this.
Yeah, I need to. There were a lot of things that I could say were quote unquote wrong if I were judging my upbringing, but one of the most important things that was right, quote-unquote, or positive, was bringing a sense of humor to just about anything. I mean, we laughed a lot, and we laugh a lot in my home now. And, my husband, he'll often tease me about how slow I am and stuff like that. And I laugh because, it's, what else am I going to do? It's much easier for me to laugh at these things. And, when I need to cry, of course I do, like I mentioned before. So
right.
It's dealing with reality.
No. I was just gonna chime in and say yes. My head is going up and down. Yeah, I'm just yeah. Laughing is so important. Lighten up, audience. Everything it's not that important and it's not that serious. I mean, listen to this wonderful woman share laughing at this diagnosis and even being able to. I don't know. I can feel you. I'm amazed, and I'm still, again, grateful that you're sharing with my audience.
Oh, thank you, and I appreciate your kind words. I really appreciate the wonderful energy that you send out, and I feel quite honored by that. Thank you so much. And being on the show has just been an amazing experience. I'm just so happy to be here.
Yay. And again, let's just because it's so important. One of the things that I like to share with my audience is really, really to really know who you are. And I'm not the same person I was. No. Scratch that. I'm getting off on another tangent. But when we were, 2 years old, 3 years old, we didn't have all of this extra baggage of blaming and labeling and judgment and comparing and looking in the mirror and not liking what we see and if I went to a 2 year old and said, well, you're going to have MS in about 30 years, they're going to look at me like, okay, what who cares? And that really, it's like unlearning a lot of things that we've learned and just getting back to that child or that person that we really are underneath all of this layers of stuff and learned behaviors and conditioned behaviors.
Exactly. And I love that you mentioned unlearning because I am working with a friend of mine named Lisa Marie Pepe. She actually is a host sometimes herself on Blog Talk Radio. And we are working on a book called The Art of Unlearning, how to stay in the present and let go of the past. It's a really important thing, I think, because, you know, conditioning is going to happen from our parents, from society. I'm sure I'm putting plenty of conditioning into my kids. But there is a way to kind of unravel all of that and learn how to live the lives that we really deserve and the lives that we really want to live. I have a teacher that that I had at one of the energy healing schools that I went to, and he basically says, you know, your kids were born for you to mess them up. That's really part of their mission on this earth. So everything is really ultimately meant to be. Not that I use that to excuse myself when I, you know, have a poor parenting moment or anything like that, but it also kind of is a relief of knowing that this is just something that naturally happens in our lives. We get conditioned, we get taught things that, of course, do serve us, but then some don't serve us. So how do we unlearn what is not serving us and move into more of our happiness?
Right, and again, this I talk about unlearning all the time, and it's what you just said about unlearning is for me, I really it makes me lighter when I really look back. And I know it goes back to really knowing yourself and knowing who you are and knowing and wanting to know and wanting to learn. And you're right. These kids, my son picked me. Listen, I was a total aggressive, loudmouth, domineering bitch when most of the time when he was growing up. And I used to feel bad about that, but no, he needed everything that I gave him at that particular time. And now I'm just such a cream puff. He wants to fight with me now. It's really interesting, Genevieve. He wants to fight with me, but I've given up my boxing gloves. And he says, Mom, now that I have the nerve to spar with you, you're retired from the ring.
Hey, you won't even engage with him. So, and it's something that he's getting used to, but I'm sure he prefers it over, you know, yelling and things like that. And I still yell at my kids sometimes. I'm not going to say I don't. I'm not going to say that I'm not a human being and I don't make mistakes. But what I tend to do is I apologize a lot more quickly. And like I mentioned, we get to the solution a lot more quickly, you know, and they're getting a little bit older now. And, you know, they know that their mom makes lots of mistakes. But, of course, they know that they're loved and they know that they are amazing human beings. I mean, they have plenty of confidence, that's for sure.
Yeah. I love that. So, one of the things, I just want to get back to one thing that you said, which is really, really important, too. This thing about patience. Patience, having patience, not having patience, because one of the things that I had to unlearn was this rushing, you know, looking at the clock, I'm late, whatever it is, things I want to do, this rushing, and I've had to slow patience is such a, even patience with what I want to do in my life or what I think I want to do. Patience with all of it. Just patience is so important to being happy. You cannot be happy and impatient at the same time.
That is absolutely true. And it's so funny that you mentioned that, Rebecca, because I was just going to say pretty much the same thing. The moments that I'm impatient, I'm sure as heck not happy. There's no way. So it's, you know, and that those moments where I get into that mode, you know, that hurry-up mode, that the let's-go mode, the, you know, let's drive 2 hours round trip to the wrong place mode, you know, there isn't a lot of happiness. But then, you know, after I vent, like I mentioned, and go to the solution, then the happiness returns immediately. It's amazing how that happens. And it really is a process. You know, there's no such thing as getting everything right all the time. There's no such thing as perfection. And I tell that to my clients all the time. It's okay if you get a little off track with your goals, whether it be, you know, not to be in a rush or not to stress out, anything like that, or whether you have wellness goals. You don't have to be on every second of the day. You know, it's not like there's this great judge in the sky watching you, ready to smite you down at the first little, you know, step off your path. I've got plenty of steps off the path. You know, my 9-year-old says, "Oh, yeah, Mom, you make more mistakes than anybody in this house." And you know what?
Don't you love
He's
that?
Right.
Don't you love kids? I just love that. But I'm going to throw something out. I'm going to throw something out, and let me just throw this out. I don't believe there are any mistakes. I don't think there are any mistakes. And getting off the path, I don't even believe that exists. The path is the path. There's no off the path, on the path. It is just the path. And honey, I ain't making no mistakes. It's all good.
That's a great way to look at it.
That mistake word is, you know, I'll use other four-letter words, but I don't use that word mistake, and I don't use that word should. You know, there's nothing I should do. There's only what I'm inspired to do. So there are no mistakes. Getting off the path doesn't even exist. You are on the path. It is the journey. So that's my two cents.
I love that, and I love what you had mentioned about, I forget already. I'm going off track. Oh, how there are no mistakes. Because I think that it is a really important way to look at it. And I'm really glad that you brought that up. Because it's, and there is no, you mentioned too, there's no such thing as being off the path. There really isn't.
Mm-hmm.
There really isn't. It's more like perhaps you decided to go a different way. And, okay, maybe that way isn't serving you at the moment. So you can choose to go back to what does serve you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I'm going to throw this out at you too, my dear. I'm going to throw this out. Everything is serving you. Everything is serving you, including the crying and the venting, because like you said earlier, that's how you're wired. So it's all serving you. Everything is serving you in every moment. And it's I used to do this thing, and I say the universe is giving me a grade, and every moment I get an A plus, no matter what I'm doing, no matter what I'm saying, wherever I am, I get an A plus. That's a good way to feel.
I love that. So how would you redefine, because what I meant by mistakes was basically, you know, for example, when I, you know, had the wrong date for my son's game.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I labeled that as a mistake.
Mm.
How would you recommend that I reframe that? Because I love what you're talking about. This is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. And this is how I would frame it. Oh, I'm getting chills again. This is what I always say. This is my mantra. Everything is in order.
Wow. That's awesome. And, you know, it's funny that you mention it like that, because I know that everything happens for a reason, everything is meant to be, and everything is really for our highest good, even if we can't see it at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
And I used to, you know, like, what does this mean, and, you know, why is this happening? But I definitely know, and it's really about trusting. It's about getting that trust all the way up that you will jump off. You'll jump off the, you know, Mount Everest, and you'll be okay. It's the trust, and you know everything is in order. So I say that your drive to in fact, let's really take it out. Your drive was yesterday and going, you know, 2 hours out of your way was meant to be shared on this radio show and was meant for us to have this conversation right now. And I'm getting chills because that's why you had that experience yesterday, so we can talk about this today.
Absolutely. I believe that. And I do believe that everything is for our betterment. And I also believe that the reason why we had that two-hour journey is that God wanted me to spend a little more time one-on-one with my 11-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up having a great time.
That's right.
So, you know, we came back home, and, you know, he was just like, hey, this was fun, you know?
Mm-hmm. It was an adventure. In fact, and then now you have a wonderful memory that you can look back and laugh at. And remember that time when, and knew he cried, and it was such, my son and I, we use the word, oh, what a disaster. I love to say it was a disaster. But we say it jokingly because really there's nothing, there's no such thing.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true. So I love how I was able to just kind of turn the tables on you there for a second and ask you a question, because this is what I love about being on my spiritual awakening path, and I don't think it's really ever going to end. What I love about it is every single day there is a chance for me to learn, and there's a chance for me to ask questions, and I love that I'm so blessed being able to just let go of trying to be Miss Perfect or Mrs. Perfect, letting go of that image that I mentioned a few minutes ago about this, great judge in the sky ready to strike us down, at any second. It's really all about how can I learn from this and how can I help those around me mm-hmm. with what I'm learning.
I just love conversations about real life, and it's what we're talking about is just having more choices that now we're going to think about it, everything's in order, we're getting rid of this other word, and it's having more choices to choose from on this journey. And you can still go back and say, well, that was a mistake, but it's not going to have as much power as it had before. And what else? I'm almost tongue-tied because it's just so much good stuff going on this call.
I agree.
I wanted you to share with my audience what you did and what you do with women also. But if you have any more questions...
Well, actually, yeah, that was the main question that I had for you, because I just love to talk with like-minded individuals like yourself, fellow radio show hosts and fellow authors, and just learn more and more how I can just choose happiness, really, because it really is a choice. And I have a chapter in a book called A Juicy, Joyful Life. I'm one of the contributing authors. And it's basically, it's how to find the best in every day. And my chapter in that book is called Happiness is a Decision. It really is a decision that we get to make every day.
Right, right. It's a decision, it's a choice. And what I found, for me, at least for me, it is my commitment. It is my priority. It is my agenda in every moment. In other words, if I make a decision, talking about decisions, talking about choices, whatever I'm faced with, whether it's a person or a circumstance, I always ask the same thing. You said, is how important is this? I always say and add another thing. What is this? What am I going to be creating? Am I going to be creating more peace, or am I creating drama? Peace or drama? And based on that, very simple, because these concepts about being happy is very simple. And even conversations with my mother, if I make a statement, if I say something, I know whether or not I'm creating peace or drama with her. I know that, or a coworker, or anybody on the street. So it's just it's really consciously living in every moment and practicing living consciously as opposed to habitually or unconsciously. Or reactionary, or reacting to something. We have a choice of how we want to react.
That is so true. And as part of my conditioning experiences, I had a mother. Unfortunately, she's no longer with us. She passed away from breast cancer about 16 years ago. She had many strengths, but she really saw herself as Superwoman. And, she did not take very good care of herself. She didn't sleep well. She didn't really eat that well. And it was, work, work, work. And, of course, she had to work. There was really no way around that. But it was also she very quickly, as part of her personality, I'm not really sure exactly what, but she very quickly would point out something negative about somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost as if she had this arsenal of energetic swords or, darts ready to throw at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a long time as a teenager and as a young adult to unlearn that.
Mm.
Because, you know, I didn't know anything else.
Right.
So when I started learning that there was another way, that, you know, we don't have to grow by neglecting ourselves and hurting other people, then it just was so much more freeing. And I just don't, I don't want drama anymore in my life. I don't want negativity anymore in my life. And even when I do vent about how I'm feeling, or, you know, I'm not necessarily concentrating on all the blessings, like I mentioned, I move very quickly from the problem into the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, reality gets a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Please, this people looking at other people and finding something wrong with them and criticizing them, are you kidding me? I mean, that used to be what I did put on my to-do list, find somebody and be critical about them.
Right, exactly. And
I mean,
for
years.
I was trying to make myself feel better about myself, because I didn't really like myself very much back then, by saying, well, I might be messed up, but look at that person. what did I gain from that? Nothing. I remained miserable. So.
Well, this is the secret. You know, this is a secret. Anytime anyone, because come on, there's people in my life that are still like that, and they're actually grandfathered in. I can't do anything about it, Genevieve. But what happens is, what I know for a fact, that anytime I look at anybody else and I label them slow or stupid or whatever it is, I'm really talking about myself. These people that talk about others and are critical of others, they really want to say it. They really are talking about themselves. And so I can't take anything that they're saying personally. I definitely don't take anything personally or seriously.
Definitely.
Or think that it's important. And it's really very freeing, because then you can be in the same room with someone even yelling at you, and it's okay.
Because their problems and their negativity really have nothing to do with us.
That's right.
It's their stuff.
That's right. That's right. I was. This is just a couple of days ago. I was driving. I was driving actually on the freeway, and I had my phone in my hand, and I was on the speakerphone. It was a stop and go traffic, so I wasn't, you know, driving. And there was a sheriff that pulled to the right of me, passenger side, and he was yelling. I mean, he started yelling in his fist, and I was like, first I was stunned, and I rolled down the passenger side window, because I had my windows up, and he's screaming at me, "Lady, put your phone down!" And I thought he was going to pull me over and give me a ticket. Again, it was just stop and go traffic. I'm not saying I was doing everything all right, but I was on the speakerphone, and he kept yelling at me, and I just looked at him. I said, I'm sorry. And he still kept yelling at me, but none of his energy what word am I looking for? Penetrate. None of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely none. I'm Teflon to people that yell and angry and all that. I'm just Teflon now.
Because it really had to do with that police officer.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably, you know, he could have been having a hard day. He could have not been happy in his job. And when people are yelling like that, they are just looking for a reason or even an excuse to vent, except they're not doing their venting in a healthy way. When I vent, at least I'm not, you know, blaming anybody for my issue.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for you. Do you think that there's going to be a time, who knows, month, 6 months, 6 years, 10 years, that you won't even have to vent anymore, like, you know, publicly? I'm curious.
Sure. Fortunately, I don't do it publicly, quote unquote. I don't really do it like out, you know, where other people are. But
okay.
It's just part of my process. It's just for me at this point. It's part of my humanity. It's okay. This stinks. I'm letting it out, and let's move on. There may be a time that I don't need to do that anymore. But if I do, I'm going to allow myself that. I'm not going to beat myself up about it. Because then,
right.
You know, the misery spiral will you know, ensue.
Mm-hmm. I love that you allow yourself just to be who, just to be you. I love that. I was just curious what you thought. And you know what else is curious? I'm just going to throw this out there. So you don't vent in public. You just vent in your home where you feel safe and, you know, like it's your home.
Right. Exactly. I don't feel that other people need to know about it.
Mm-hmm,
I don't feel
mm-hmm.
that it's. I don't know. I'm putting this right. It's not as if I'm trying to hide, but what I try to do when I'm outside my home is just to remain as positive as possible.
Mm-hmm,
and mm-hmm. Because other people sometimes, because they're human beings, sometimes they'll feed off of any negativity that might be put out there. So whether they react negatively or not, some people just want to get on the pity pot. So when I get on the pity pot, I get off real quick.
No staying on the pity pot for you. I love it. I love it. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe the hour is almost up. Can you please share with my audience what you do, how they can reach you, all, you know, your website, all your information? Because this has gone by really, really fast.
It really has. What I do, like you had mentioned before, is I am a coach and an author, and I teach women how to reclaim their health. And what I do with these women is I teach them how to reclaim their health on the physical, emotional, and spiritual levels. And that is what my show, Reclaim Your Health, is all about as well, with my co-host and friend, Dr. Rachel Haviland. We also have our Reclaim Your Health e-summit that happens twice a year. We've done it twice so far. And so what folks can do is they can get in touch with me in a number of ways, but I'll just give a couple of options. You can go to my website, which is wellsource.me. That's WELLSOURCE.ME. Or if you're on Facebook, you can contact me on Facebook, on Facebook.com, and you can look under Women's Wellness.
Mm.
It's, you know, Women apostrophe S. I'm sorry, I don't have the URL for that right now, but you know, if you're on Facebook, that you can search for different groups and things like that, different pages. So you can definitely do that. Also, you can look up the Reclaim Your Health e-summit on Facebook, and I think I do know the URL for that. That is facebook.com/ReclaimYourHealthE-Summit.
Mm-hmm.
So ladies can get in touch with me that way. And I really look forward to, you know, continuing our friendship, Rebecca, and I'm looking forward to helping anybody, you know, any woman that feels that they could be helped by me.
I love that, and I want to thank you again for being a guest. You know, it's funny I didn't really get to what you do specifically. Maybe that's going to have to be a part two, because it's so important. You said reclaim your health. I have a lot of questions about that, because I'm in the middle of, let's see, well, maybe I should eat a little bit better, especially getting a little bit older, and it's again, a journey, and I really appreciate you, Rachel, for being on. And I have to say to my audience, thank you again for listening. I thank you for your emails, and Reality Spirituality is heard every Saturday and Sunday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can visit my website at RebeccaNorrington.com. That's RebeccaNorrington. And you can email me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington, Facebook, Reality Spirituality. Please go to Reality Spirituality on Facebook and like the Facebook page. And remember, until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always growing. You're always changing. You're always evolving. Love is patient. And love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. And remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. Let's connect again next week. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Thank you all for listening.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Get some answers,
baby.